This is part two of the podcast for Wednesday, March 5th, Ash Wednesday, 2014, Theories of Knowledge. Yeah.
How long do we have to take
tonight? So you'll have as long as you want. When you take it, the time span. I'm actually going to open it on Wednesday of Dead Week. So it'll actually open after the last class. And you'll have until the Thursday of Final Exam Week at 5 o'clock. So I think those dates are in the syllabus. Yeah, I went there and looked at my calendar and put them exactly on there. Yeah, so it opens Wednesday, March 12th at 3:30 and closes Thursday, March 20th at 5 p.m. And I hope to be out of here on Friday. So incompletes, all that stuff, missed the exam, you know. I'm going to be there Thursday night doing my final grade calculation. So, you know, if you miss it, you're going to look at probably like a NC, or I'll just give you whatever grade you have without the final, which would probably be an F. Or incompletes are hard to do at the last minute. You talk to me ahead of time, we could work something out. So get in there early if you like. And make sure, I'll say this again, that the exam is not going to be open on Friday of final exam week. The testing leg closes Thursday of final exam week at 5 o'clock. So you can take it in Dead Week starting on Wednesday after our last class. You can take it on Thursday of Dead Week. You can take it on Friday of Dead Week. Saturday of Dead Week. You can take it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but you cannot take it Friday of final exam week. The lab will be closed. So make sure to get in there at the very latest by Thursday afternoon of final exam week. I was just saying, looking for some co-op interns for Students for Liberty. You get 2 or 3 credits of political science credit. It's cooperative education, it's just general elective credit. And you work between either 7 or 10 or 11 hours a week, depending on your level of credit. And you're doing all kinds of stuff if you're interested in politics or individual rights, personal freedom, a voluntary society. Send me a little message or talk to me after class. Okay, moral knowledge. So morality is sort of a puzzle in that it's something you engage in every day. So somebody give me an example of a moral judgment you've cast today. Anybody made dealing with a tough ethical issue, moral issue? Yeah.
Why should rich people have everything and poor people die from starvation and no medical care?
Okay, so that's a big one, right? Why is it? Why, in the economic sense, I would say because there's a bunch of commies in the planet and socialists and people preventing free trade. That would be my answer. But and also people, yeah, but. See, Zach's got his hand in his head. It's like, you know, and I suppose that God made a kind of crappy world where, you know, malaria and disease runs rampant in the rainforest and so on. But it's like, it's not like there aren't a bunch of greedy capitalists that would love to employ people in factories with low taxes and regulation. It's just that you get these tin pot dictators that are more interested in having child soldiers mow down people with the machine guns. Based on petty ethnic and tribal rivalries. Anyway, but that's a good question, though. So they may put this in more general terms. Is it just? Because the why there might be asking for like a socioeconomic explanation, like you said. So is it just that rich people have everything and poor people starve to death? Oops. a good question. How about that? That's the following question. Is it right for me to pay $20 for a movie and snacks? Mostly the snacks, right? That's where they make their money, the concession. When that money could save one child's life, say maybe for a month or something. You get even like poor people, they spend money on like, you know, hot stereos, and they go to the movies, and they buy a malt liquor at the convenience store, and smoking cigarettes. Most people that smoke cigarettes are from the lower socioeconomic strata. You know, taking mind-altering substances. People have a lot of disposable income in America, even poor people. So then the question is, you know, what's your moral responsibility? Like, so you might say, well, like that rich bastard, he's got a lot. Why doesn't he get something? But how about you? You got some extra money. Just because he's not helping doesn't mean you don't have any obligation, right? So these are sort of big issues. How about, can you think of like an everyday thing that might be like sort of more commonplace? Yeah.
Uh-huh. You can't afford it. Is it right to take it or not?
Yeah.
Somebody else left it there.
And you stole it, didn't you?
No, it was an example.
Oh, okay.
Somebody left their calculator.
Oh, okay, the calculator?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What'd you do with it? Did you pocket it?
No, the teacher had it, but I told him that.
Oh, okay. Example. Oh, I see. Okay. Gotcha. So the idea of, you know, so should I try to return this lost item, right? Like this something or other here. Department of Justice, United States Attorney's Office. Ooh, there might be something valuable in here. District of Oregon is like, oh wait, this is the feds. I don't want anything to do with it. So, and I'm on the recording here too, so now I'm screwed. And that's something, the everyday occurrence, right? Or how about somebody cuts you off on the freeway, right? Like this person who was like tooling along at 63 miles an hour in the left lane. And, you know, it's like this SUV or something. I can't see around them. I'm finally, like, looking around and finally passing the right. You know, they're just tooling around, yakking on their cell phone, not paying attention. I'm like, you jerk. You know, I didn't scream out the window or anything like that because it was raining. But, I'm thinking to myself, you jerk, why don't you pay attention to the road and stop being distracted on the cell phone? Like, I cast a moral judgment on the person as being a bad driver. They're driving below the speed limit. There are other people behind me holding up traffic, you know, causing a problem. So, that idiot should pay more attention to the road or whatever, right? So you do this all the time. Maybe you're in a relationship and your beloved has done something, has done you wrong, right? Or maybe you've been jilted and betrayed, stabbed in the back. And you think, how could she have done that to me? That was just so wrong, right? You cast a moral judgment. And it's not just that you're hurt, but you're like, no, she did me wrong. She's a bad person. Right? You make these moral judgments all the time. So it's not just like the sort of big issues about like poverty and justice and about, you know, is it okay to, is it, you know, I think of it like the, can I kill one person to save five other lives, or does collateral damage matter when, you know, President Obama's lobbying a drone off to in some hapless village to kill a terrorist if he kills like his whole family and some of the neighbors. Is that okay? Is that just collateral damage, or is that morally wrong? Right. So those are the kind of the big issues. But one of the things I want you to think about is that morality is kind of like an everyday thing. It's something that you engage in every day. But then when you come to think about, well, what's it based on? Then you start cracking your head saying, well, I don't know. It seems like certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And so you start thinking about the foundation of morality, and it gets kind of you start sort of wondering, like, well, what's it all based on, or is there anything to it at all? So that's the sort of the big puzzle of morality, because it's ubiquitous, but it's hard, but its foundations are mysterious. So I like the word ubiquitous. It means it's sort of everywhere. But its foundations elusive. Kind of hard to pin down.
So I think